Jezreel. What do you think you would see? Jezreel is a place of judgment. Have you ever heard the term Armageddon? Same place. Megiddo. Jezreel, Megiddo, same place. We've been there. Stood on the edge of that, you'd call it a mountain perhaps. It's not a rugged mountain, but it's tall. And as you stand there, you can look to the north, and on a clear day, you can see all the way to Nazareth, which is, 25 miles, 35 miles away. You look off to your left, and the valley proceeds off to the left, and it goes down to a place called Joppa. If you look off to the right, it goes down to the Jordan River. And you can see, even on a hazy day, down out in the valley in front of you, you can see 10 or 15 miles. There's a group of people here. We've learned about them last week, so we won't talk about that a whole lot. But there's one named Ahaziah, and he is a king. And you think about the connection here. It all goes back to Ahab and that group. And God promised he was going to judge those wicked people. When Naboth, you remember the story of Naboth that we looked at about a month or two ago, when Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard and Naboth said, God won't let me sell it, and so Ahab just had him murdered, is what it was. And you think, well, he was serving God and he got murdered. I want you to know, when you meet him in heaven, you ask him what he liked better, living on earth or living with the Lord. Amen. To be absent from the body today is present with the Lord. In those days, they went to a place called paradise. The Lord Jesus Christ took that up to heaven, long story short. And so don't worry about Naboth. He did just fine. But it wasn't right to murder Naboth because Ahab wanted his vineyard. And folks, God is a God who avenges those that are oppressed. Those that are sinned against, those that are suffering, God avenges that. There is judgment. So, Jehu is, we talked about him last week, that picture, he is a portrayal or a representation or an icon, if you will. He's a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on Jezreel, on Megiddo, right there on that same place where the Battle of Armageddon is going to be fought, in that valley out there, Ahaziah, that's where the palace was, and that's where the king resided, and they look out, and they see something coming. And I'm trying to remember, maybe up in Utah, there's some places where you can go up real high, and down here there's some mountains you can go up on. And if you see somebody, now back then they didn't have asphalt roads, of course. And so Jehu's in a chariot. And those chariot wheels are stirring up the dust and the horses are kicking up the dust. And my best recollection of anything like that would be at Fort Hood, Texas. We'd be up on a mountain. We'd see a tank out there in the distance and he's running along. And you might not be able to see him too well, but you can see a cloud of dust. And Ahaziah looks out. Actually, the watchman is the one that does it. The watchman looks out. And he sees something coming. Wonder what it is. Keeps on coming. Getting closer. Moving fast. Wonder what it is. That's what we're going to see tonight. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm not going to read the whole passage at first, but I'll read from verse 16 in 2 Kings 9. I'll read down for a ways there, and then we'll have a word of prayer. 2 Kings 9:16. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, Megiddo, for Joram lay there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. And there stood a watchman on the tower in Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came and said, I see a company. And Joram said, take an horseman and send him to meet them and let him say, is it peace? You're going to hear that question again, a couple of times, in fact. So there went one on horseback to meet him and said, thus saith the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, "The messenger came to them, but he cometh not again." Then he sent out a second on horseback, which came to them and said, "Thus saith the king, is it peace?" And Jehu answered, "What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me." And the watchman told, saying, "He came even unto them, and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously." And Joram said, "Make ready." And his chariot was made ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. And they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth the Jezreelite. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?" And Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Ahaziah, "There is treachery, O Ahaziah." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening that as we look up, it's as if we can see the Lord Jesus Christ getting ready to come back. And we know if Christ is our Savior and if we're walking with you, He's coming back to us in peace. But Lord, tonight there are some people that do not know Christ as Savior, and there are some people who have turned their back on Him and they're living a wicked life for themselves, and for them it's not peace. God, tonight there are people that they know there's judgment, but they're not prepared for it. Lord, as we think of Jesus coming back, we rejoice. In fact, we pray, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We pray, "Thy kingdom come," because we know that when it comes, it's going to be peaceful for us. And we can rejoice. But tonight, we see a judgment that is coming swiftly and is coming without anything that can stop it. And when it arrives, it will be anything but peace for many, many people. God, before that judgment comes, please help us to reach some of those folks and help some of those folks that have turned away from you to turn back. Bless us as we look at this passage tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So Joram and Ahaziah there in Jezreel, they see the company, group of people coming. They're coming fast. They're coming towards them. And I guess the first question I have to ask is, why are they so worried? You and I think pretty much tonight, everybody I know here, I hope you're all born again Christians. Folks, Jesus is coming back. And for those of us that are saved, and for those of us that walk with Him, it's peace. Praise the Lord. I put that verse in the bulletin this morning on purpose that we have confidence in that day of judgment because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. These fellows don't have that confidence, do they? They look up and they see the company coming and they think, I wonder if this is good or bad. I wonder what this is all about. We better find out. And so, you know, I won't be tedious, but they send a couple of fellows out on horseback, and those people on horseback, they can go a lot faster than the company. You know, I should have looked it up. A horse can run pretty fast. And a horse gets out there, and the horseman gets out there to find out what's coming, but they don't get to come back. And the closer it gets, it must have been a long ways out there if you think about it. They had time to send two horsemen out, and then they had time to get the chariot ready and for these two kings to go out. And just for the record, when God decides to judge, you're not going to stop it. You know, I've heard some people say some awfully foolish things. I won't even repeat them. They're so foolish. But they seem to think that somehow that they're not going to have to face God. Folks, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I see Christians that have decided I mean, and I'll just go ahead and say it, if they are Christians, but I think they are, and they've decided to live a life that does not serve Christ, and it does not honor Christ, and it does not please Christ, and there's a judgment coming. There's a time to stand before Him one day. The Bible says we'll give an account of every idle word. So these fellows, if you look at the story, the judgment is coming. Why? Because God is a righteous judge. And God will judge sin. In one of two ways, we remind you, He did judge our sin. He judged our sin by putting it on Christ on the cross. So that your sins and mine are covered under the blood of Christ. I still think there's an accounting to be had with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do know that we serve Him not for salvation, but we serve Him so that as He will reward us, that we can lay those crowns at His feet. And I believe with all my heart that when we step into eternity, that the way you lived your life in this world is going to affect the kind of eternity you have. And we won't get into that too much, but judgment is coming, and it's coming swiftly. He could come tonight. There are people, read the news every day. Somebody young, somebody old steps into eternity. Not that they expected to. I taught a Bible class in Maryland, and I should drag those notes out and come to think of it and use them tomorrow. There was a young man on his birthday. I think he was 29 years old. And he was leaving work in Fort Worth, Texas, and he was driving back home, and he lived between Fort Worth and Dallas. He was a construction worker of some kind, and it was a Friday evening, right about dusk, and he's driving down a highway, I think it's number 114, just north of Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, and what he didn't know was that there was an airplane about to land, and a microburst drove that airplane into the ground. And when it hit the ground, it hit his car, and it killed him instantly. And you can imagine, seconds before that happened, the young man, he's looking forward to going home, celebrating his birthday. He was married and had a wife of, I think, less than a year, if I'm not mistaken, and he was looking forward to just another evening, a special evening, and just like that, he's in eternity. Judgment comes swiftly. I don't think he was saved, but I'd like to hope he was. I can't get him saved, but if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I want you to know judgment comes quickly. And it comes unexpectedly. And you have the same opportunity that these fellows had. You know it's coming. They could see it out there. The difference is, it was too late for them to make things right. And they could have done that, and they had chosen not to. So judgment's coming swiftly. And I like what he says. You can see the way he's driving there. And so the watchman sees it. Everyone, if you have any sense, you'd kind of like to know what's coming. And so there's a watchman here, and he's looking out to see if the enemy's on the way. You know who the watchman is, folks? We're the watchman. Trying to think of the prophet's name. It'll come to me in a minute. The Lord came to him, and the Lord told him, he said, I want you to go, I think it was Isaiah, I want you to go and I want you to tell these people what's going to happen. And to warn them, because I'm going to come and I'm going to judge the nation of Israel. And I wish I could think of his name, but he sat there for 7 days and didn't move. And this angel came back after he'd been sitting there for 7 days, just astounded at what he had seen. And he said, listen to me, here's the way it works. If the watchman sees the danger and warns the people and the people don't listen, their blood is on their hands. But if the watchman sees the danger and doesn't warn the people, their blood's on his hands. Did you warn somebody last week? Amen? We see. We have a clear view. Christ is coming back. Eternity's on the way. No one lives forever. Whether they step into eternity through death or the return of Christ, He's coming, and we know. And this watchman did his job. He said to him, he said, hey, I see a company coming. And I even think I know who it might be because I can see the way that they're driving. They're driving furiously is the word he used. I think it's Jehu. And so the judgment is coming. In verse 17, he says, I see a company. And then at the end of the verse, Joram says, is it peace? In verse 18, when the writer arrives in verse 18, he says, thus saith the king, is it peace? In verse 19, the second horseman comes to the company and says, is it peace? And then in verse 22, when Joram saw Jehu, he said, is it peace? What do they mean, is it peace? So why are you here? Is this going to be good or is it going to be bad? I'm sure glad our judgment's going to be peace. At least for hope for us it is. For you, will it be peace? You know, sometimes people think they can live a life that fools people. People aren't the one that's going to judge you. God is. Is it peace? Can you say with confidence when Christ comes back, it's peace? That's the question. What's coming? I think it's safe to say these people who were wicked and refused to get right with God kind of expected God to do something about it. There's this silly word that people use today. It's called karma. And that's just another way of pushing God to the back of the line. There's no need for karma. God's a righteous judge. Someone says, oh, you know, if you do something bad will happen to you. They're right, but it's not karma. And by the way, if you do something bad and you make it right with God, he'll take care of it. But if you are wicked and refuse to repent, yep, something bad is going to happen. There are some people that live fabulous lives with wealth and prestige and power. And I won't name anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. But I think of people that have been names that the whole world knew. But the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And wouldn't it be sad to live a fabulous life and then die and spend eternity in hell? Eternity. Not 50 years, not 75 years, not 1,000 years, not 1,000,000 years. Years without number. And 10 million years from now, that soul still in hell, I don't care how luxurious this life was, it'll mean nothing to them then. There's another side of that coin, by the way. Let's say you lived a life, let's just use the Love Groves as an example. I have a feeling Ethiopia is not quite as nice of a country to live in as our country. And oh, by the way, as long as I'm on that topic, you ought to thank God for our country. And it's just flat out wicked when somebody will say they represent our country and then won't salute our flag. Simple stuff. Our country, if you don't like it, there's a whole bunch of more out there. Just pick one. You know, there's lots of them you can go to, and a lot of them will take you. We were going to Mexico one time, and we were doing it on a bus. It was my daughter and I. And then I've done it again with a man from our church in Maryland. And we got to the border. That was the funniest one. We got to the border, and a missionary dropped us off in Nogales, right there at the border crossing. And we had suitcases, and we're pulling them behind us. And we looked like tourists, I guess. I don't know. And we walked into this building, and there's a room there, and there's a door. And we walked through that door, and we're looking around, and there's a guy at the counter, and he says, can I help you? And I said, yeah, we're trying to get into Mexico. He says, go through that door. So we opened the door, we walked. We're in Mexico. No papers, no inspection, nothing. I got to thinking, I'm an illegal alien. What do you do now? I'm not going to go back through that door and tell the guy, no. You know, we went to the bus station and used our broken Spanish and bought a ticket and went down the Navajo and I was an illegal alien in Mexico for a whole week, amen? And it happened twice with Liz and I. We went over the border on a bus. and no paperwork, nothing. The missionary said, "How'd you get in?" "I don't know. Just kind of showed up." Folks, it's not that way with heaven. You can't get in unless you got the right qualifications. Amen. You got to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep going here. So we want it to be peaceful. And when it comes down to it in verse 18, the question is too late now. You can't change it now. So when the first horseman and the second horseman arrive, they say, "Is it peace?" He says, "What hast thou to do with peace?" And then the second one in verse 19, same thing. And then in verse 22, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?" In other words, you had the opportunity to make things right and you wouldn't do it. You could have made things right and you let it go. And she's still, and you're going to see her come to an end here pretty quick, not tonight, but maybe next Sunday or the one after. But she's still got freedom to persecute God's prophets and kill God's prophets and worship her false idols. Judgment's coming. You think, "God hasn't judged me yet." You know why? Giving you space to repent. You had time to make things right. But folks, when judgment arrives, it's too late to make things right. I've heard people say to me, "I'm going to get saved at the last minute." No, you won't. You won't even care. Because when you tell God no and tell God no and tell God no, and the conviction further and further and further away, by the time you die, you won't even care. The Bible says today, now is the day of salvation. Amen? Now, it's too late to do anything about it. They can't change. There's no going back. So now look at verse 20. "The watchman told, saying, he came even unto them," talking about this horseman, "and cometh not again." And like I like this. "The driving of these fellows is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously." I could turn that into a joke about some ladies, but I won't do it. Driving, yes, okay. No, this fellow's on the way and he's coming swiftly. Folks, the Lord's coming back. And he's coming swiftly. And he's going to judge. He's going to press on. He's not going to be stopped. You cannot stop it. In verse 21, Joram said, "Make ready." And his chariot was made ready. And he's still trusting in himself. He's still thinking, "We can defeat this." I wonder what it's going to be like for some people to stand before God. Sad, so sad. They sat in a church service and heard the gospel and turned it down. They heard how Jesus loved them and died for their sins and how that they need to get saved. The Holy Spirit convicted them and they turned it down. Aren't you glad you didn't turn it down? Aren't you glad that day? I think if I ask you to raise hands, almost everybody here could raise their hand and say, "I remember being under conviction, being concerned. I remember one of my children came to me after a church service one night, eyes about that big. Dad, I need to get saved." That's called conviction. But can you imagine somebody that said, "Nah, I don't want that." Or worse yet, these people that mock it and make fun of it and accuse us of things, they're going to stand before God one day. And there's a judgment. And they're going to be judged for those sins. You can't stop it. Ahaziah and Joram think maybe we can go out there and defeat these fellows. No, when the Lord comes, he'll defeat them with, the Bible says, the sword of his mouth. Just the word of God. The very same word that had the power to create. God said, "Let there be light." That's astounding to me. I know a little bit about light. And for God to be able to create that just with a word, if he can create with the word, he can judge with the word too, can't he? Verse 22. Joram saw Jehu, and he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?" And Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Ahaziah, "There is treachery, O Ahaziah." No, there's not treachery, there's judgment. The Lord's not the one that's treacherous. The Lord sent his son. God sent his son to die and pay for your sins. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. I told you the story, the fellow that asked me one time, why would God send somebody to hell just for making a mistake? First of all, sin's not a mistake. Sin is over and over and over, and you have chance to repent and didn't. But anyway, why would God send someone to hell just for making a mistake? And I really think this, not with an audible voice, but it came straight from God, because I wasn't sure what to say, and then it hit me. And I told the fellow, if you go to hell, don't blame it on God. He did everything he could to keep you out of hell. If you go to God, go to hell, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. You're the one that makes that decision. You're the one that decides. It's not treachery. They're the ones that were treacherous. Treachery is when you kill Naboth because you can't have his vineyard. Treachery is when you persecute and murder the prophets of God because they say that Baal is nothing and he is nothing. Treachery is what Jezebel's been doing and what Ahab's been doing, what the whole family's been doing, and Joram's a part of that mess. That's treachery. God did not come and will not come to judge in treachery. He'll come to judge in truth. The treachery has already taken place. But isn't it funny how lost people see it the other way around? There is truly a blindness in their hearts that they just don't see the truth. Joram says, it's treachery. Let's get out of here. Too late for that. And I don't know if you could picture the scene. I think they've been close enough to talk, obviously, perhaps yell at each other. And so Joram yells at Jehu and says, is it peace? And Jehu says, there can't be any peace as long as Jezebel's so wicked and keeps on doing wicked things and you put up with it. And Joram says, I better get out of here. And they turn to flee. You ever thought about trying to outrun God? Not going to happen. This isn't the first time in the Bible that you see somebody shoot an arrow and it hits the mark. Amazingly hits the mark. What was the one earlier when the fellow just drew a bow, just had a venture. Let's just shoot this up in the air and see what happens. And it hit the king that was wicked and killed him. So here we have Jehu draws the bow. Full strength. You can picture this. This is a man of war. And folks, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ is a God of war. And he will defeat his enemies. And if you decide to be his enemy, you will be defeated. And if you act as his enemy, there will be a suffering for that. He drew a bow with his full strength, everything he had. And that arrow flew, and it flew, and it found its mark. Didn't have to be this way, but now it's too late. Look what happens in verse 24. It smote Jehoram, and by the way, there's an excellent example of what I taught you a couple of weeks ago. The name Joram and the name Jehoram, they're interchangeable. They mean the same thing, and God often uses either one. But anyway, it struck him between his arms, and the arrow went out. Apparently, he's running because the arrow came out the front. It went out at his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. And that's sad. You think, well, praise God, wickedness was judged. Folks, you wouldn't wish hell on your worst enemy, would you? The judgment has come. Verse 25. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord. And I will requite thee in this plat, in that place of land, saith the Lord. Now therefore take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. You can say a lot about that. Naboth bled there innocently, and now there's a judgment taking place, and they're going to put this fellow in that very same spot. God remembered their sin. I'm glad God forgot our sin. The Bible says that he separated our sin as far as the east is from the west. Oh, I think you've heard that one before. You say, why not north and south? If you go north long enough, you can start going south again. But you know, you can go east forever. And you can go west forever. Our sins separate as far as the east is from the west. Your sins will never find you. Christ covered them in his blood. But in this case, their blood is required because of Naboth and because of their refusal to repent. In that very same place where Naboth died innocently, these people die in judgment. Verse 27, when Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, oh, let's just stop right there for a minute. What's Ahaziah doing there? Well, first of all, God brought him there. But he had a chance to, he didn't commit the sins these other fellows did, but he had a chance to do something about it and didn't, a chance to stay away from it and he didn't. He fled by the way of the garden house. Jehu followed after him and said, smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Ibleam, and he fled to Megiddo, back to Jezreel, and died there. His servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in the sepulcher, in his sepulcher with his fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. And that's the end of this part of the story, but there's more judgment to come because there's still a woman named Jezebel. If you think of that name, you just think of a wicked woman. I told you we had a lady in our church in Maryland named Jezebel. She spelled it D-Y-E-S, but that was her name. She got saved. And I can still remember her husband when he got saved. He was one of those with the big eyes that came down at the end of the service and said, I need to get saved. And we visited them in their home. She got saved, got baptized. She was originally Filipino, if I'm not mistaken. We took her to Thailand on a missions trip. I thought they weren't going to let her come home. They didn't like her passport too well. It was apparently Filipino, but he was in the State Department, and that took care of that problem. But you're talking about somebody that could barter. Oh, she could get a good deal on the streets, I'm telling you, with sunglasses and stuff. But anyway, the name is not what matters. It's the deeds that matter. And judgment's coming for her as well. And I save that for another night. Going to go home tonight and going to remember something. It's peace for us. Amen? I got teens looking in the back door. They're checking us out. It's time to stop. Let's all stand and pray.